So we're in the series talking about discipleship, right? We're looking at deconstructing discipleship because it's such a weird word, right? Discipleship is so, it's a thing that you don't ever use in life, and it's kind of like, I think I know what it means. And inside the church, people talk about discipleship, what it means to be a disciple, and but you're going, what? All right, but what is it? Like, what do I do? Like, how do I know? Like, what does it mean to be a disciple or to discipleship? It seems so, it's kind of so convoluted. And so we've been going through this series, and we've been using this acronym, MARCS, right? And from this other pastor who's like, this is a good way to think about what it means. So like when Jesus says, go make disciples, what does that mean? How do you know you're a disciple? And so we're going to quiz you. Are you ready? If you've been coming the last few weeks, this is for you. Okay, so we've been talking about MARCS, M-A-R-C-S. We haven't finished yet, but if you remember, so week one was M, and M stands for missional, off to a shaky start. A few of us knew. Okay, so we talked about being missional and how as a church, like there is a mission. Jesus gave a mission to his people, and the mission isn't to live your best life. The mission isn't pursue happiness at all costs for yourself, whatever it takes. That's not the mission. The mission was to go make disciples and to go like present the gospel to people and to help them grow in faith. And so we talked about how a true disciple, a follower of Jesus, understands they have a mission. This isn't just like for the professional Christians. This is for anyone who's a follower of Jesus. All right, he's given us a mission. All right, so that was M. Okay, and then next week was A, and A stands for accountable, right? That as a disciple, you say, okay, there are people in my life that can speak truth into my life. And this isn't for everyone. You don't give this permission to everyone. Like you don't just say, anyone you meet, hey, just tell me what I'm doing wrong. But you do need specific people, a small group of people, maybe just one or two or three that have permission to be honest with you, that you've given them permission to and to be accountable, and that someone who's serious about following Jesus recognizes they aren't perfect and they have blind spots and they need other people to help kind of iron sharpen iron and smooth off the edges, right? And then last week we talked about the R, and R stands for reproducible. Two of you were here and you got it. And we talked about how the point of discipleship is to continue to invest in other people. And the goal isn't to like grow and learn and just gain as much information as you can and just consume. The goal, the mission is to go make disciples and now to go share that and to encourage other people and that the gospel, it came to you, but it wasn't meant to stay with you. It was meant to now be shared with other people. And so we talked about how biblical discipleship is reproducible discipleship. It's not just I'm growing in my understanding and that's it, but rather, all right, how can I invest in other people? And we talked about how you start with small. The goal is just you're looking at just a few. We said specifically, this isn't disciple the whole world, but just start with a few. And if there's a few guys in your life, a few ladies, maybe you're in a Bible study of some kind or a small group, or if you're like a stay-at-home parent, you have built-in people to disciple. You have your kids and say, the primary right now, God in my life has put me, he's given me these children now to steward, to invest in. I'm taking that seriously. And these are going to be the ones that I focus my, until they're out of the house, these are the ones that I'm going to invest in. All right, awesome. Now we get to today, the C. The C stands for community or communal. That disciples understand and recognize that the Christian life and following Jesus is meant to be done in community. This is not meant to be done by yourself. That it isn't something we do alone, and we're meant to grow and to love and to live out our mission together. So here's the point. Here's the main point, and then we'll look at how do we do this and what are the benefits of this. Here's the point. Ready? The point of this morning, the point of all of this is this. Discipleship is a shared journey, not a solo one. Here's what this means, that you are meant to experience and grow in your faith and live out your faith with other people. That this wasn't meant for you to just do by yourself. This isn't a hey, just keep it to yourself. Just keep your faith private. This is, when we talk about biblical, like our biblical understanding of discipleship, it is not one where you say, this is private. This is just for me, and I don't ever want to talk about faith. Real discipleship is a shared journey. You're on a journey, and this is meant to be done with other people. So let's look at what this, like how this works, and specifically what, like the benefit. Okay, if I'm, convince me I'm supposed to be in community. And if you remember, we said this from the beginning, that that there are sermon series that are that we do that are like, oh, this is really good, and I'm learning, I'm growing, and it's encouraging. And we did Revelation over summer, and people seem to really enjoy that, and like, oh, it was really great. And then there are other series in which, like this one, where we say, this isn't what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear. And we said, this sermon series is like drinking medicine, right? It's like taking your medicine, drinking your cough syrup, and you're going, ah, it tastes so bad, but I know I need it, right? This, even this morning, is going to be more of that, where you're going, oh man, that's convicting, but the goal is not to make you feel bad. It's never just to make you feel bad. And that's what happens. I apologize, really. The goal is to say, okay, this is an area I need to get better at. I need to grow in. The goal isn't like, hey, you're doing terrible. The goal is, all right, this is an area of growth that I now know I need to grow in. So this morning, we will have some moments like that in which we will be drinking our medicine, and you're going to feel it. And I'm really excited for you to take your medicine. Really excited. Here's the first thing we see. Community. Community encourages spiritual growth. Real community and doing life in community and doing faith in community encourages that you grow spiritually, that you actually grow in your faith, and that this, again, this isn't meant to be alone, but that part of doing this with other people is because you can experience the kind of spiritual growth that can only happen with other people. We see this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. What is he talking about? Here's what the writer is saying. He's saying specifically, this has to happen together in your physical presence. This is one of the things, like, the encouragement here, or the clear picture is to encourage one another and to be physically together. This is one of the reasons why, I don't know if you remember this a few years, it's been a few years now, but we went through this season we called COVID. You remember that time? Anybody remember that time? And one of the reasons why it was so hard, not just for everyone, but in particular the church, and why the church was so divided and so frustrated over this, was because what was taken away was our ability to be together. And it was sort of like, hey, just go watch on TV. It's fine. Just go watch on your screen. And we did that. And here's what you realize. It didn't take long for you to realize YouTube TV or YouTube church is not real church. That there's something about like being together with each other that you can't get any other way. And so like Hebrews is saying, hey, don't stop meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing, and don't do this. We need each other to stay strong, to keep our faith alive. And the early church understood this. So in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, the Acts is the kind of the beginning of the description of the beginning of the church and what happens right after Jesus like dies, and then the kind of he gives it to his disciples to take over. Now they're leading the church. And in Acts chapter 2, we get an incredible description of what they did. And we saw that they met regularly together. They shared meals, they prayed, they supported one another. Their lives, we see, were intertwined, and they did life together. It wasn't this, like their understanding, their experience of church was not, we show up on Sunday, we go do our thing, we spend the hour there, and then we go home, and then we don't address and don't think about faith, we don't do anything else until next week, and we do it again. That was not at all the early church experience. They were living life, they were a part of a community. And when we're part of a community, we're forced and we're pushed and we're encouraged to grow. We cannot be spiritually healthy in isolation. You were not meant to do this alone. Now, here we go. Here's some medicine. I've heard this, I've heard many Christians say this, many people, and they'll say something to this effect. Well, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Or they'll say, I don't need someone else to tell me how I should have my relationship with God. I don't need to go to church and listen to someone else or to someone teach. And right out the gate, it sounds so spiritual, doesn't it? It sounds like, hey, I can do this. I don't need someone else to do it. It has that hint of saying, wow, this person, they are really strong enough to do this themselves. When I hear someone say that, okay, I'm just going to tell you this. So if you ever come to my office and you say, hey, I just realized I don't need church, you know, to have a relationship with God. And you may, so you, after this, after today, you'll never do that, I promise. At least you won't come tell me. But you, and I hear you say that. My first initial thought is, oh, this person is not spiritually mature at all. They don't get it. You're not as mature as you think you are. Here's the equivalent, ready? It's like saying this, right? If the church is the bride of Christ, as described as the bride of Christ, it's like someone coming into your house and being like, hey man, I wanna get to know you, I wanna hang out with you, but if your wife's home, I'm out. Oh, in fact, I don't want you to talk about her. I don't even wanna know her name. I really don't like your bride, but you're fine. Listen, I hope no one's actually ever done that. If you've ever done that, right? Shame on you. How could you? But could you imagine someone, and then you going like, wow, this is a mature individual. This is the kind of person I want to hang out with who hates my wife. When we say, hey, I want Jesus, but I don't want church. Here's what we're saying. Jesus, I like you, but I don't like how you set all this up. I don't like the church you set up. I don't like how you built this for a community. I can do this better on my own. I promise you, when you hear that, that is not someone who is so spiritually mature they get it. Someone who is a true and honest, like a devout, like someone who's seriously about their following, following their faith and following Jesus. They don't say, I don't need the church. What they say is, I need more community, not less. I need more, not less. So who are you right now? Who are you encouraging in their walk with Jesus? And who is encouraging you? Can you name someone, literally by name, can you name a few people in your life that you say, I think I'm trying to be an encouragement to them. And also, you know, they're an encouragement to me. And if you have a small group of some kind or a Bible study, like you probably name a few people, or maybe you have some guys or some ladies that you're close with that you're doing like, awesome, great. If you don't, this is again, one of those, oh man, it kind of hurts, but all right, that might be the encouragement I need to recognize I need community. Community, so we see the first thing, it encourages spiritual growth. Here's the next thing. Not only does community encourage spiritual growth, community teaches us to love. You don't learn to love by just like being a great person. Here's how you learn to get better at loving. You do so when you're around people that are unlovable, that challenge your like ability to love. And this happens certainly in marriages, but it happens in friendships. And the people that like, how you grow spiritually, how you grow in life in general, isn't when things are really easy and everything's going your way. It's when you're stretched and when things are hard and when it's a challenge and you're like, all right, this is something I have to overcome. And that's where growth happens. And it's no different here. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He talks about, he's gonna give us this illustration, this analogy of the church being a body. Here's what he says. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its members, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one spirit, so it is, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Paul gives this beautiful image of the church. And sometimes we can get hung up on the like slave or free. Think of it as servant. It's like, it's not, the word he uses here is not like slave, how we think of it, but rather like it's probably closer to like employee or boss, which you're like, oh, well, wait a minute. I have to treat my employees nicely. Yeah. Only if you're a Christian, right? Like only if you're serious about it. So he gives this illustration that the church is a body and it has many parts and all of these parts make up the one thing. And that's you. You are a part of the church, the body of Christ, and you have a part to play. You are a part, and you're an essential part. And this church only exists when all of us are doing it together. And we have different roles and gifts and backgrounds, but we're all part of the body. And then he goes on, he continues, and he goes through this analogy, and he says, how can a foot say to an eye, I don't need you? Or, you know, if the body was only an eye, where would the sense of smell be? Or if it was only a nose, where would the taste be? And it's like, listen, your body, you need every part to play its part. And so it is with the church, that we all have roles and gifts and ways to contribute. And then he goes on and says this. Here's the reason why. He says, so that there will be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. He gives us this metaphor, and he says, here's the point, ready? This can only happen in communities. It will only happen around other people, that if there are parts that are suffering, we suffer with it. That we come alongside and say, man, this hurts. If a member of the body is hurting, we hurt too. And likewise, if a member of the body is rejoicing and something happened that was wonderful or a great experience, or like, oh, this happened, you won't believe it, we rejoice. We rejoice with them as well. And that can only happen if you are with other people. You can't do this on your own. This is why the solo thing doesn't work, to say like, I'm gonna do this on my own. When things are hard and you don't have other people in your life, you just tailspin. You need other people to be around you, to encourage you, to support you. We're called to be unified in Christ. It's not uniformity, but it's unity. It's not all of us looking, acting, sounding the same. There's diversity here. We all look and sound and even think differently, yet we're all in this together as a community. Jesus says this in John 13, he says, a new command I give you, and here it is, ready? Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's not easy, but this is where growth happens. Community teaches us to love in the midst of diversity and hardship and struggle, and you don't have to be a part of a group for very long to realize just people are weird. Did you know that? You know weird people. If you don't know any weird people, it might be you. And here's the thing. It's so much easier to say, I just cut out people in my life because it's just, people are drama. And when you do that, you cut out a part of an area where God is using it to grow you. To spiritually grow you, to challenge you, to encourage you, and to place you in an experience where you can grow in your love for other people. And here's more medicine. Here we go. I've heard people say this, and maybe you've said this, and if that's the case, I don't apologize, other than to say, you know, it might make you're gonna feel it a little. I've heard people say this. They'll say things like this. Church is fine and all, but I really like, and I'm really just interested and care about, they'll say this, the big C church. Meaning like the universal church, like church in general, not necessarily a local church, like not this church, like this church, this group of people, but rather, and again, it sounds so noble. Oh yeah, you're just concerned about the big C church. And here's what that means for them. They'll say things like this. I just want to be involved with I just want to see what the big C church is doing. And so that means I'll attend this church on this Sunday. And then I'll do this women's Bible study over at this church. My kids are going to go to this youth group because it's got, you know, the coolest room. And then next week we're going to go to this church because, you know, this pastor's speaking. And then there's a new study over here that I'm going to join. And you realize, pretty quickly, you're not committed or a part of any community. As much as you just named a whole bunch, you're not involved in anyone. Do people even know who you are? If you miss it, will people recognize and say, oh, we miss you, where have you been? It sounds so noble to say, I just wanted the big C church. And again, I hear that and I'm like, oh man, I don't think you get it as much as you think you do. Do you know this? There's the people in the scriptures, people in the New Testament, the book of Acts, the people who literally wrote the Bible, they never talked about Big C Church. All of them were a part of a local church, a body of believers, a community, and that was their people. There's only a few who we think probably weren't, and here they are. Ready? The Apostle Paul, because he was planting the churches. So raise your hand if you are planting churches right now. If your goal is to, like, I'm gonna plant 50 churches. Okay, fair. You can attend it. By default, he would go to, like, different churches, spend some time there, move on, and he would write letters to them. Hence, we have the Bible, right? All right, so if you're not planting 50 churches, then this doesn't apply to you. If you're not, like, a superintendent of a denomination? Okay, I didn't think so. All right, so here's what that means. You need to be a part of a church. And I'm gonna say this, and this is crazy. Most pastors don't say that. Don't say this. It doesn't have to be this church. It doesn't have to be this church. If you come and you're like, everything's really nice, but, you know, that guy's kind of weird. All right, you know, you're weird, first of all. but honestly, it doesn't have to be this church, but you need to be a part of a church where you're saying, this is our group, this is our community, we're in here, we're invested, we wanna know people, we wanna be known, we wanna encourage, this is our community, and to be all in one spot. I've seen this happen so many times, and people will come into my office, hey, you know, we're decided to leave the church, and I'm like, okay, hey, no problem, I get it. People, okay, tell me about it, what's going on? And then they start saying this, well, we just want to focus on Big C Church and this thing, we're doing this thing over here, and we're going to this group, and so we just don't have the time to commit to any one thing. And I'm like, oh, here's what that means, ready? And I've seen this so many times. It means in a short amount of time, you probably stop going to church altogether. I've seen this so many times where it sounds so noble, and then we get an update 6 months later, oh yeah, they stopped going to church altogether because they left community. The thing that they got rid of in this pursuit of the perfect church, which you found it, you're here, congratulations. The thing that they sacrifice is community. Oh, and that hurts. You and I, we need community. If it's not this church, a church, find a church. Now, I get, there's a level here in which I'm preaching to the choir because you're all going, we're here, dude. Like, we're at the church. Like, what do you mean? Like, why are you making us feel bad for not going to church? We're here, literally here right now. And also, I'm glad you're here. But here's the thing. There may be a time in your life where you're tempted to think, like, I don't really need church. And maybe it's not the church, like, the church doesn't, like, we need to switch churches. All right. But don't ever think that, like, we don't really need real community in our life. And there may be people who are close to you who maybe say the same thing, and I'm giving you permission to speak truth into their life. I just had someone just this morning say, like, man, I had one of my close girlfriends, and she just told me she stopped going to church and hasn't been really going, but, you know, and it's kind of fallen back, and I'm like, that's it. It's not this, like, grand gesture, I'm so much better than this. It's just a subtle kind of drift away, and if you're not in a community, no one even knows you drifted, and you're on your own. So community, it encourages to grow spiritually, it teaches us to love, and here's what we'll see. Community helps us, it fulfills our mission. We have a mission, and this is done in community, in group, with other people, not solo, not by yourself, but in community. Look at what Jesus says in John 17. It's often referred to kind of as his unity prayer. This big prayer that Jesus gives, and he prays for all kinds of things, and specifically he now prays for us, the church. He says this, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So he's saying, I'm not praying just for the disciples, just for these 12. He's praying specifically for them. And now he's saying, I'm praying for anyone who believes the message of the gospel forever. So anyone who believes the message that they're gonna be sharing now as they start the church, I'm praying for them. And now here's the prayer for that group, which would include us, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. That's the why. That they may be one, and just as you are in me and I am in you, so that, Father, they will know, the world will know that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. This is encouraging because here's what this tells us, that it's possible, that this is doable. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." His prayer is not this sort of like, this like, well, this would be nice. This is wishful thinking. But rather, I'm praying, God, that the people who believe the message through them, that they will be unified, they will be united as one, and then the world will see that as further evidence that you really did send me, that you really are who you are, who you say you are, that I really am who I say I am. That this is evidence then for the gospel at work. It's a testimony to the world. This is why when you see churches that are working together and like people coming together for a common cause and common mission, it's life-changing. Like, it can do some incredible things. Like, cities and communities notice when churches all of a sudden wake up and like, we're doing this together and we're moving together, and it's kind of a, well, what's going on? And then the opposite is true. When you experience, like, and I'm sure many of us have, I certainly have, when you experience churches that are full of drama and infighting and like, and turf wars and name calling and even church splits, people look at that and go, why would I ever want to be a part of that? Why would I ever, as a non-Christian, want to join those people who can't even get along themselves? Oof. And you know what? They're right. Would you want to be a part of that? Instead, what they'll say is, I'd rather stick around with my people. I'd rather go hang out at a bar where everyone knows my name. That was a good joke. Now, in all honesty, the church can often be kind of the coldest, most distant place you can show up, which is so crazy, because literally our mission is the opposite. Yet, for whatever reason, we can tend to keep people at arm's length and judge, and man, it can be such a poor reflection of who Jesus really is. Yet, when people in the church are united for a common mission, all of a sudden that changes, and it's, well, there's something going on over here. There's something going on there. They're different. They're serious. They actually, this is crazy. They like each other. Like, they actually go out of their way to help each other out. This is crazy. Community helps us fulfill our mission. So you can ask yourself this: are you actively contributing to the unity and mission of your community? Whatever that is, whatever your community looks like, the small group of a few men and women, or maybe a small group of couples, or whatever like the community looks like for you. How are you contributing and encouraging people there in that environment? Now, if you're not in one, great. This is the like, oh, that hurts a little, but also, okay, I think I need to be in one. I think I need to get serious and think about what does it look like to say, all right, we need to be around other people. We need to be around other like-minded people who can encourage us and challenge us and can help us grow in our faith. Awesome. Yeah. And now the goal then is to figure out, all right, what do we do? So how do you do this? How do I increase community in my life, right? If being a disciple means that I grow and I'm focused on community, how do I increase that? Okay, first, join a small group. And it can be an actual like small group, like New Hope small group, when you're saying, all right, I'm gonna go to a small group lunch and find out where I can be a place in one. Awesome. Or it can be like, when we say small group, means like a small group of people. It can be a Bible study. It can be a men's group, a women's group. It can be just a few people that you know that are like-minded, and you're like, hey, let's just start doing coffee regularly or getting lunch regularly and just being a part of each other's lives. And all right, so whatever that looks like, whatever you feel like, oh, I'm really lack, I would love if, you know, four or five of us guys would just get together and we could say like, oh, we're going to do weekly lunches or weekly coffees. And we're just gonna pray for each other and talk about life and encourage each other and share struggles and celebrate wins, and like, that would be awesome. Or maybe a few ladies, you just say like, oh, we're just gonna get together, and you know, life is chaotic and overwhelming, but for a moment at least we can all get together and we can kind of like, all right, we can just be with each other. Just be with each other as a part of a rhythm of life. Now, I mean, maybe some of us that sounds terrible, but I imagine for many of us, you'd go like, I would love that. I would love like, three or four or five of us just to get together and like be able to have people I can count on and lean on, that would be awesome. Here's the second thing. Encourage someone each day. What would it look like if you said, all right, you know what? I'm going to take on the responsibility of encouraging someone. Try to encourage someone every day. And a year from now, I will have encouraged someone 365 times. Like, that would be incredible. Can you imagine the amount of, like, what that would do to your life if you just said, all right, my goal is to be an encourager. At least once a day, before I go to bed, I'm going to try to encourage someone. I'm going to, all right, who did I encourage today? What did I do to help encourage someone, whether they're close friends or strangers, or whether they go to church or don't go to church, who cares? I want to encourage people without any, like, preconceived notions or requirements. Like, all right, how do I encourage someone every day? And then a third thing, how do I pray for the unity in my community? Whatever your community looks like, whatever that looks like for you and your small group or your life, your experience of your faith, how do I pray for more unity in that? More unity in my small group, my men's group, my women's Bible study, our couples group, whatever that is. Or how do I focus specifically and pray for more unity? And then here's the last one, and this is the hard one. Again, this is more medicine. Ready? Here it comes. Don't wait for someone else to initiate. Don't wait for someone else to start this. It might be after today you're going, all right, I think God might be telling me I need to actually pursue this. I can tell you this, that for a lot of people, especially in church, if you wait around for someone else to reach out and to, like, start a group and invite you to it, you might be waiting a while. And for some of us, it might be decades. Oh man, it's been 20 years. Have you ever gotten involved in anything? I come Sunday mornings. What else? Oh, that's really it. I've never really been invited to anything else. Okay, first of all, we invite you to something every single Sunday. There are so many things that you can be a part of. And like, all right, so if that's you, and if you feel like you haven't been invited, okay, look, everyone's looking at me. Okay, I, Brandon, personally invite you to any event we do, to any ministry, to any program, and say, hey, it's for you. Yeah, but I don't know. No, it's for you. We're doing a marriage thing tonight. If you're married, it's for you. I'm inviting you to come be a part of this. Not because, like, it's about, like, getting more people, like, oh, wow. It's because we really do want people to have community. So don't wait for someone else to start it. It might be, all right, maybe God's wanting me to start a group. A mom's group, or a guy's group, or a Bible study, or a small group. All right, Lord, what are you asking me to start, and who should I invite to this? Maybe God is wanting you to take the initiative in the first step at starting something. Discipleship, we see this, is not a solo journey. It's a shared one. It is meant to be done with other people, not by yourself. God designed us for community. So the goal then is to be a community where this is a reality, where we say, all right, we really do want to be a group where we grow together, we love one another deeply, and we carry out our mission to make disciples. And that can only be done in community. Would you do this? Would you stand with me, and we're going to worship? And I want you to, as we get ready to pray and worship the Lord, I want you to think through, all right, Lord, what would you have me do? What community in my life do I need to become more involved in? Or how do I, God, what do you want me to do? What initiative do you want me to take to start to take serious this reality that I'm not meant to do this alone, that I'm supposed to have people around me, like-minded people who can encourage each other and challenge each other, pray for each other. We all need that. This is not optional. This is not a, hey, that'd be a nice thing to do. No. Listen, you need people praying for you. You need people in your corner who are supporting you and challenging you and spurring you on and doing the hard work of being in each other's lives, even though it may be messy. It's always better. Would you pray with me? So Lord, help us to understand what we're lacking in life, and we've been trying to do it alone, and we really need people around us to encourage us, to challenge us, to celebrate with us, to even to cry with us. You created us to be in community. You created us to experience life with people and never alone. So help us as a church, as your church, as your people, to take serious this call to be in community. Help us to have the courage to be the ones to take initiative and to invite other people to be a part of our life. We love you, Lord. We worship you now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So we've seen this last